Welcome to ResearchCast UK, the podcast for social justice research. Each episode, a different host will open up a conversation with their guest to explore their interests and insights in addressing inequality, promoting equity, and driving social change. From interviews with leading researchers to stories from people's lived experiences and activism, we aim to inform, inspire, and ignite conversations that matter. Join us as we challenge the norms and amplify the voices striving for a more socially just world. Today, we're joined by Dr. Jess Hamer from King's College London, co-author of a timely, highly important report, researching and exploring the barriers young people face when it comes to subject choice, and particularly for our discussion today, computing and computer science. Thank you very much for agreeing to speak to us today, Jess, about your work on the SCARI project. SCARI, for our listeners, is the Subject Choice, Attainment and Representation in Computing report.
Oh, thank you, Eleanor. Really appreciate that. Some debate as to whether it's SCARI or scary. We could take either. I refer to it as scary because talking about a scary project sounds a bit more interesting to me. But it is a project looking at the barriers that young people face when it comes to computing education, and came about by Peter Kemp's and Billy Wong's prior work in this space. For a bit of context, it is a project that looks at schools in England, and although we also use the National Pupil Database, with these our student survey and our interviews, we worked with state schools, non-selective, co-educational, mixed, and of course a computing department within that school, which is, as we know, not every school in the country. So from that perspective, the students and teachers that we were working with represent the best case scenario.
Yeah, it's a bit of a worry that it's this scary project, but it's a really important piece of work for us to try and understand what the issues are in schools from a social justice point of view, and for our students, our teachers and school leaders alike. I've been regularly referring to this with my PGCE computing trainees, computing mentors as well, because of its timeliness, really. I was just so pleased to have this as a more current point of reference and a clearer picture of what's happening in schools. It's been a decade, Jess, since the computing curriculum changed to encompass a greater emphasis on computer science, further away from ICT. And your introductory paragraph highlights that. In that time, for computing education in England, it's perpetuating gender imbalance in the digital domain and raising social justice concerns.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm not a computer scientist by background. Physics education is my thing. Now, we know there's an issue in physics in terms of gender balance, but there was always one subject in recent years which was worse, and that is computing. Ever since the switch from ICT, where it's around sort of 40% of girls taking GCSE, now hovering around the 20% mark in terms of computer science. So there has been a substantial drop in the proportion of girls having a digital qualification. And given the direction of the world and then the current and future workplace, having digital skills is fundamental. And so it's really worrying seeing a drop. So it was a very timely piece of research to produce, and very grateful to the Nuffield Foundation for funding that piece of research at that time.
Yeah, absolutely. For it to be worsening when the whole move at the time was to try and improve the situation, better preparing our young people for a digital future. From your report, we clearly need to take continuous action given how dynamic our subject is, and hopefully policymakers will take account of your findings. Interestingly, the levels of dissatisfaction you highlight regarding the current curriculum are high. And so while you were investigating, did you find specific changes that teachers and students were themselves telling you that they'd really like to see?
Yeah, so we surveyed around 5,000 students in these secondary schools in England. So that's a pretty large survey. And we did ask them their thoughts on what the different topics and so on that they were learning about. And we also interviewed around 30 school senior leaders and computer science teachers. And I can't say that all teachers or all senior leaders or all students think this, because obviously we acknowledge that everybody's different. But there were some very strong themes, particularly amongst teachers. Some senior leaders described the computing curriculum as quite narrow, and they were generally said that it felt less responsive and less meeting the needs of the students in their school. It was also recognised by many of the teachers that we interviewed that the emphasis on coding in particular and mathematics within the computer science GCSE was taking up a lot of time and potentially at the expense of those core digital skills that the students needed and the issues around that. And for students, so there is around 74% of girls, this is based on our survey, who didn't take the subject to GCSE, said they didn't like the subject. And yet 53% of boys who didn't take GCSE computer science still said they didn't like the subject. So proportionally, girls are more likely to say they don't like it as a subject than boys. And that's amongst the cohort that didn't choose it. And the reasons they say they didn't like the subject or they didn't want to choose the subject was that it didn't align with their career plans. And we found that girls were generally more interested in topics such as digital media, project work, presentation work, and so on. And overall, less interested in the coding aspect of the computing curriculum.
You're right, of course. I think it is partly about the proportion of time it occupies and how it's used and presented to children and young people. So yes, yeah, really interesting.
And balance. It's not to say that, you know, that coding programming doesn't have a place in the computing curriculum. It needs to be a curriculum that truly prepares young people and is appealing to a more diverse range of young people so that we can get more young people choosing those digital qualifications and wanting to go on and use those skills in the future workplace. It could be in tech, but it could be in a whole range of other jobs as well, where we know there's such a need for digital skills.
So what then specific support do you think would most benefit teachers in delivering an inclusive computing curriculum?
So what came out really strongly from our interviews with senior leaders and computing teachers was that the schools where teachers were empowered to explore CPD by their senior leadership and subject specific CPD tended to have better uptake of girls in GCSE computer science. Now, there's lots of caveats to that.
Yeah.
It was something that we tended to see, and that might be something to do with a wider school culture around empowering teachers and so on. But there was definitely something around teachers accessing subject-specific CPD and being enabled to do that by senior leaders within their schools. And also, in particular, around CPD that was perceived as relevant, and also CPD that explored and focused on sort of inclusion and diversity within the classroom. And that could be broadly across the school, but it obviously you can adapt and tailor that to the computing context. But that was something that came across really strongly. A lot of the time, and across the board, whether the teachers that we interviewed were in schools that did particularly well in terms of the proportion of girls choosing GCSE computer science or what we call the comparison schools, what was really clear was that teachers were having to do a lot of CPD in their own time and very, very self-directed CPD whether that was going onto YouTube and learning a new skill or so on. But a lot of it was self-directed, and that has consequences on well-being and time and so on for those teachers. And so where there was capacity and teachers were supported, that's where we really saw the benefit for girls.
Yeah, I can really empathise with that, because during my whole career, I spent hours self-teaching. There just wouldn't have been courses made available quickly enough for some of the software or the websites we were picking up and choosing to use in the classroom. So it was down to the individual teachers, teach yourself. It's what makes the subject interesting, you know, exciting, it's fast moving, it's dynamic. But with that comes the time needed to prepare resources so that you are able to help children access and navigate these skills, contextualising the topics and making lessons relevant to their lives. It's one of the things I tell my trainees, actually, contextualising, making lessons relevant to our students is key and can help avoid some topics that, you know, could be perceived as pretty dry, as being hopefully more meaningful and important to them and their lives.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's definitely a fast moving space. And even since we conducted the research, there's been such a shift. We've seen things are changing rapidly and teachers need to have the time to be able to keep up to speed to this. And the curriculum needs to keep up with those changes too. There's a role for the teachers to improve their CPD, but you know, there is that wider systemic change that does need to happen. Also, one thing that came out really strongly in our quantitative student survey was where students felt, and this is regardless of gender, that they were supported by their computing teacher. It was one of the most strongest associations with choosing the subject at GCSE. So having a supportive teacher who is able to enact all the sort of inclusive practice that they've learned on CPD, who makes the students feel valued, and we see that benefit in terms of uptake at GCSE. Sometimes you think, well, it's all about old school or it's all about the curriculum, but in terms of uptake at GCSE, the role of teachers is really crucial, and teachers being supported to be able to access the CPD that they need to ensure that everyone is welcomed and the lessons are exciting and engaging, and students are really learning. That is so, so important.
You know, for our listeners who are teachers or trainee teachers, to know that actually there's really powerful and meaningful work that can be done in the classroom for our students. From the recognition that our time spent in that space with our students, when we can sometimes feel really challenged and indeed often overwhelmed, I would say, by staff shortages, pace and volume of change, whether it's local or national, the fact that actually you as the teacher are important in that classroom to those students every day, that you can make a difference to their future subject choices and ultimately possibly their career choices, which I think is fantastically empowering and great to be able to take away from the report. So could you please then share some examples from your work of policies or practices that have successfully increased the uptake of computing amongst girls?
Yeah, it's really, really hard to pinpoint one thing. Lots and lots of factors at play when it comes to increasing and making computer science more diverse. One thing that did come through in terms of the whole school approaches around supporting identity and belonging in computing, really what we saw was that in those schools that have a higher uptake, we found that teachers spent time building rapport and getting to know the students in their class, including the girls. And where there was that really positive relationship between students and teacher and the whole class, we saw that those were the schools that had a higher proportion of girls taking the subject to GCSE. In situations where there were tasks that were set, were really achievable, And something I sometimes see, not part of this research, but when at the start of a course, sometimes you see teachers give a particularly challenging paper or test. Do you really want to do this subject? Really creates a sense of unease and a sense of not really belonging and really undermines confidence. So where tasks and assessments were achievable for students, that seemed to really have a positive impact. And where there's really constructive and positive engagement and feedback with students, that worked really well, building that self-confidence amongst all students and making them feel that they can do computing was really good. And when there's also sort of a balanced learning approach in the classroom, not all young people like to do group work and not all young people like to work on their own. That just mixing it up a bit, where we saw balanced learning approaches, that was really positive and had a really good impact on students in the class, including the girls. As we know from our research, girls tended to be more interested in that project work. So a real balanced learning approach seems to help with that. And also having things like gender inclusive resources, things like wall displays and presentations, which just include everybody and it's not reinforcing stereotypes. Fostering an environment in the classroom where there is active dialogue for all students, where everyone feels that they can contribute and it is safe for them to do so. You know, if you're a student and you're in a minority group in the class, that can feel really intimidating. You know, a role of the teacher is to make sure that all the students feel safe and feel that they belong. Those are some practices that many teachers are enacting in their classroom. That's something that we saw as really positive and seemed to work in schools which had a higher proportion of girls choosing computer science GCSE. These are things that many people are doing already, but it's not just applicable to computing. It is across every subject.
Yeah. We have regular sessions during the PGCE year, of course. In particular, we have EDI Week, Equality, Diversity and Inclusion, where our trainees engage in looking at an area that interests them more closely. They're able to choose and then they present to one another on the last day of the week, on the Friday, about what they found. And we find that that week is a huge success for all of us. And the discussions are challenging, they're wide ranging, and supporting trainees' professional development, and they tell us that it really is transformative. If we treat our students with respect and dignity and recognise them, and then they can recognise themselves in the curriculum and in the classroom and feel accepted, yeah, absolutely, then yeah, we're supporting and making a difference, aren't we there?
Yeah.
So let's touch on negative stereotypes about computing professionals and seems also to affect student choices. How do you think schools and educators help reshape these perceptions to make the field more appealing to a wider range of students?
Schools and educators have a really, really important role to play here. So what we found in our student survey is that positive perceptions of computer scientists was associated with almost twice the odds of also being confident at coding. And that's sort of quite interesting, isn't it? It's showing that sort of that link between how you perceive computer science and what you are doing yourself. We don't know whether you're more confident at coding, therefore you perceive computer scientists more positively. Or is it that you perceive computer scientists more positively and therefore you are more confident at coding? We don't know the direction of that. But what we do know from our work, and we've recently just published a paper on this, is that by far the most frequently reported names when we asked young people, who are the famous faces in computing for you? By far the most frequent response was tech bros, Elon Musk, Mark Zuckerberg, Bill Gates. That was interesting and we think actually quite narrow. White male entrepreneurs are not the be-all and end-all of computing. There are many other people who work in computing and tech who do lots of very different things, but they are not being recognized. And what was also interesting was that girls were three times more likely to name a famous female figure than boys, which suggests when they do come across a famous female figure in computing, that role model, that famous face sticks. More often than not, that famous female figure was, drumroll, not a surprise, Ada Lovelace. And actually, all of the names of those women, those famous women in computing and tech that were suggested by students, they're all dead. So where are the contemporary famous faces in computing for young people? Is it really limited to those tech entrepreneurs? And I think we need to do more, both in school and also in wider society, to promote more diverse role models and more diverse people working in a whole range of different roles in computing and tech. And we really need to improve the visibility of these role models. We also know that when they are relatable to the young person, that seems to have a more profound impact than when it was somebody who is absolutely so wealthy or so successful. It almost seems out of reach for that young person in their school. How many people are going to be able to send a rocket into space in their lifetime? Well, hopefully a few, but you know, it's not going to be everyone. And we need to ensure that there's that diversity so young people can feel that it is achievable for them.
It's about the visibility, isn't it, of these big names and the impact that they can have. And there are examples of female tech entrepreneurs like Steve Shirley, for instance, around a kitchen table, you know. Very few people may have heard of her and her vision of making the tech workplace more inclusive and flexible for women at the time. When I was teaching app making, that was really interesting. I found that telling my students that their age and not making a profit is no barrier. Think about some of the problems you could solve. Create things that are socially beneficial, like the young women who'd created an app for tracking buses in their region of India that they could safely travel on, you know, looking after their own safety. Identifying a problem, working together to find a way to use their smartphones and coding to solve it, and which was really inspiring. And I could see that inspired my students as well. So that was important, recognizing success and recognizing young people who have taken issues into their own hands to solve them. Relatability and relevance can be really inspiring. So what do you think is the role of digital businesses then? And in some of the changes that you're proposing, I'm thinking, for instance, of the Livingstone Hope Report, Next Gen in 2011, that really contributed to shifting the policy towards computer science at that time. Do you think there is a role for businesses today and organisational voices that can be supporting your report as well, helping to make the next shift in the curriculum?
Yeah, absolutely. Pretty much every business that includes computing or tech in some way should be doing its utmost to ensure that they are getting all of the talent that is out there. And at the moment, effectively, half of the workforce is missing. Half of the talent is missing. Imagine how much further, what creative ideas could come through if there was that wider choice of experience and thought in those workplaces and designing and creating the technology of the future. And also thinking, on the other hand, that half of the customers are female. So, you know, ensuring that the world of the future that's created is created for everyone and not just by a minority, for a minority. Yes, there is that moral social justice for businesses, that case there. But there is also creativity and getting the best talent in the room. That is still a really strong business case for those employers. So I really do think that there is a role to play. It's about businesses talking about what skills needs are needed. It's about enabling their workforce to support greater connectivity with schools and young people, about creating resources and case studies. And please, 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 for employers that do get involved, do not leave it up to your minority groups in your workforce to deliver on this stuff. Often we see that it is the minority groups that end up doing the outreach, that end up being on the diversity committees, but it's everybody's responsibility to make sure that change happens.
Yeah, I agree. You're right. It's the responsibility of all of us, isn't it? To keep working for adaptations that will better meet the needs of today's young people. So looking ahead then, what do you hope of everything that came out of your research and your report and your experience in undertaking this, what do you hope will be the most significant outcome of your recommendations for computing education in England?
In the immediate term, we hope that with any curriculum review and design, that care will be taken to look at evidence, and those policymakers do look at our research and the work of other people as well, and use that to inform the development of a future curriculum that really does prepare all young people for the future workplace, and not just the workplace, just prepares them for life with the digital skills that they need for their futures. We'd really like to see a curriculum that provides those broad digital skills that also is of interest to a wider range of young people, that the teachers have the time within the curriculum to do those things like project work. So it really engages more young people so that we do end up with a more diverse group of young people going into computing and tech in the future. So I think currently, the big thing that's on the cards is the curriculum. I think that's probably the thing that will have the biggest impact. In fact, at our launch event, there are around 40, 50 policymakers in the room. We asked them what they thought out of all our recommendations would have the greatest impact. And they said the curriculum. But that doesn't take away the impact the individual teacher can have on that cohort of students in the classroom and really change the lives and open doors for them in terms of talking about future jobs and talking about trying to make the lessons more inclusive and making sure everybody feels that they belong, and engaging with families about the importance of computing and tech. And not just when they're 13 or 14 years old, but from a young age. Let's start having these conversations at primary school.
Yeah, absolutely. And how quickly our world is changing, and how important the curriculum is in trying to meet the needs of such a dynamic subject area. We haven't even, in the time we've been talking, Jess, we haven't even touched AI.
No.
And, that would take another week to discuss. But it is the next immediate challenge, really, for all of us, for our schools, teacher education, and for everybody, really. I'm reminded of Professor Stuart Russell in the Reith Lectures 2021 said that we're on the verge of the next great age akin to the Industrial Revolution. So we need our young people to be thinking about that. And it's something we've always said, isn't it? We're preparing students for a future that we have no idea about. And so it's important that we get as much of it right now as we can. So in light of what you've found and where we are, what further research then would you like to see perhaps undertaken in this area?
I think there's so much that could be done. I mean, our research was really comprehensive, but there are real gaps in there as well that need to be explored further. And yes, absolutely, AI and how young people feel about the role of AI and what it means for their futures, and really understanding that. Does it make them more likely to want to do computer science GCSE and go into computing and tech or not? We don't know. That research isn't there. So I think that would be a really interesting and very important piece of work to do. But there are others as well. So, looking and exploring the relative difficulty of different computing topics in greater depth. Particularly at the moment, we know that there is a teacher recruitment retention crisis. I don't think that is too strong a word. And so some work around the retention of computing teachers and looking at career progression, particularly in relation to CPD, I think that's a really crucial piece of research that needs to be done. Better understanding of curriculum design and evaluation of individual computing topics. And also one group of young people that always seem to not have research which sort of explores what their needs are those young people with special educational needs and disabilities. And I really do think how they access and use digital devices and how they perceive and their experience of the computing curriculum and their pathways through computing education, I think would be something really, really important to explore. So yes, lots to do.
And all the very best, Jess, in any future research that you're doing in this area. And thank you so much for producing this in the first place. I know I find it really useful. And I know my trainees have as well this year. Because it's invaluable for us on the ground to have some information to work with, knowing what the national picture is, and to think about it in relation to what we do every day for our students.
Yeah.
Dr. Jess Hamer, thank you very much.
Thank you so much.